That's the Mile High Hoops Podcast with me, Zach Bye, powered by my friends at Superbook Sports.
Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast. Reacting to NBA Summer League. What? We have traditionally through the years not done a ton of Summer League reaction. And not like we haven't done it. But I'm a little bit more interested this year. Like, which one of these young guys, which one of these two, maybe three, probably two guys will turn into a real contributor? Maybe not even on a night-to-night basis, but maybe on a week-to-week basis. And I think there is a possibility of a couple candidates here, and we plan on talking about them. I hope you guys are doing great. Okay, it is at the time of recording, it is Monday afternoon, about 2:30. I just wrapped up my 3-hour radio show, kicked off the week, did some reaction on the show. But you know, we love coming on here, the podcast, just a dedicated, uninterrupted conversation about the Denver Nuggets. I'm not going to come in here. And if you listened last week, like, I kind of just subscribed, like, you simply cannot not only overreact to Summer League, but sometimes you shouldn't even be reacting because you don't know what's a mirage, what's not. The level of competition is suspect. Most of these guys will not play in the NBA. And here's how it kind of goes, okay? And this is just me, okay? And I've shared this through the years, and I know I'm not the only person to share this sort of mantra, but I think it's a good sort of framework to deal with as you talk about NBA Summer League, okay? If you play well in Summer League, that is not the ultimate indicator that you're going to play well in the NBA, okay? Even if you play well game after game, that's not some, like, determining factor. Like, we're not even in training camp yet, all right? We'll see what it looks like with the guys who play nightly. As I said, most of these guys won't play. Most of these guys are not NBA players, okay? Collectively, they're not. The way that I kind of approach it is, if you play well in Summer League, that is not the ultimate indicator that you're going to have a successful NBA career. But if you fall on your face out of the starting block in Summer League, that often is an indicator that that league is not for you. That the world's best league is not for you, because you're not even playing in the best league. It's Summer League. That's why, again, I just abundance of caution with your our reaction. Okay, and that goes from Victor Wembanyama to Julian Strother, right? It's across the board. But typically when we see guys look confused, lost, maybe dwarfed physically, maybe the lack of athleticism shows up, like typically when you see that, it's like, oh, yeah, you might be in the Israeli league in 2 years, maybe next year. And by the way, let me just make this clear. That's not an insult. That's just a different path for different people. The NBA is the unequivocal best league in the world. But guys, I'm here to tell you, whether you're talking about the Israeli league or you're talking about leagues in France or just different parts of Europe or Germany, and you know, it goes on and on and on. These leagues are phenomenal. And the game is being played at the highest level it's ever been played at, and it's more global than it's ever been, meaning that it funnels to a very, 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 very small collection of people from the largest pool ever. A lot of these guys will just get redistributed across the world, in Spain and so on. All right, so okay, let's get some of these thoughts here. And I do have a thought or two about Victor Wembanyama and what we saw over two games. He's been shut down for the rest of Summer League, rightfully so. But we'll get to that at the end. I'm not going to spend too much time breaking this down because, as you could tell by my words and my tone, I just don't. Summer League is not going to be my compass for who these guys are. But it's all we have to deal with at the time. It's the sample that we have to draw from. under the NBA construct, okay? So just like, you know, when we react to games early in the year, it's like, hey, we have a responsibility to come in here and react, but we also have to proceed with great caution, be super measured, because the sample size is so small and the league's not even the same. I'm not going to keep going on and on. Anyway, okay, so here's a couple thoughts. Here's a couple thoughts. One, good to see the flashes from Peyton Watson. Let's just start there. I think coming into this thing, Peyton Watson was probably the biggest objective for the franchise of Denver. Like, he is the number one, you could probably say highest ceiling, such an unknown, doesn't play a lot of college basketball at all at UCLA. You guys know the story. He had the lowest point per game total of any first round pick ever. He's a friggin' teenager, okay? And went to a team in Mick Cronin out there in the Pac-12 for now, that had just gone to a Final Four. Probably shouldn't have done that. But guess what? It worked. He was a first round draft pick anyway. So we're still very much in the discovery mode of Peyton Watson. Obviously, he flashed at the end of the regular season, to the point where we had people who do this professionally saying, hey, this guy could show up in the playoff rotation, to which I said, I'll believe it when I see it. Ended up being right on that one. But this guy has a lot of ground to cover. He is super raw, all right? And the play from Michael Malone, from his launching point, considering who they have, it could be tough. So he was the number one objective in terms of like a discoverable prospect. And so far, so good. Look, not any sort of referendum. He is very much a sort of boom or bust player, possession by possession. So there's the some flashes. You have to see the flashes. If you don't see the flashes, you're probably not going to make it in the NBA, especially when they're giving you all the opportunities to go out there and fail, right? It's not like you make two mistakes, and because it's, you know, November, Michael Malone's yanking your ass out. No, this is your opportunity to go out there, play free. You know the basketball is going to be in your hands. Go be aggressive. Go play through some mistakes. That's why we're here. And for Peyton Watson to go out there and score 23 points in the first game against the Bucks on Friday, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 2 assists, got to the free throw line. I love the aggressiveness. I really do. Like, the fact that he shot 13 free throws is significant to me. He's not scared of the moment. He's attacking the moment. And sometimes, to his detriment, okay, maybe trying to do stuff that's not really, like, you're trying to, you know, leap over the head of Taco Fall. I got it. But I'd rather have to rein a guy in, right? But I think when you see that, he understands the moment. And this is his moment. So I like the aggressiveness. I don't like some of the, you know, just the general boom or bust nature, possession by possession, in which he plays with. And just sort of the lack of, you know, acumen at some times, and maybe the lack of effort at others. I don't like to see that. I think some of that stuff will absolutely drive Michael Malone insane. He had the low light moment where he, you know, gets blocked by Andre Jackson, who we loved coming out of UConn. I really thought the Nuggets were going to pick him. He went like the pick before the Hunter Tyson pick, I believe. Or was it right in front of Jalen pick? I forget. But anyway, Andre Jackson blocks him at the rim. It looked like Watson, you know, the positive there is that Andre Jackson, for those who aren't familiar with his game, who plays for Milwaukee now, just won a national championship, captain of that UConn team, uber athlete, great point of attack defender, great on-ball defender. And the fact that Peyton Watson blew by him with his first step and got to the rim, I thought was encouraging. But it looked like Watson almost lost his footing. If you go back and watch it closely, like, he was not at the apex. I think he, like, got disjointed with his feet, and Jackson just punched it. And, you know, the Bucks are bench is going crazy. And then Watson doesn't get back. And the play goes all the way back the other direction. Watson's still hanging back in the backcourt. There's a turnover or whatever. I forget what happened. The Nuggets throw it over the top to Watson. Well, Andre Jackson hustles his ass off. Watson doesn't. And Watson gets blocked for a second consecutive possession. It was on top 10 plays. It was an ugly moment for Peyton Watson. He's got to be better than that. So, again, no referendums here. He ended up scoring 15 points in the second game. Some good, some bad. But enough to build on, I think, and be encouraged for sure. When it comes to the old P-Watt going into year number two. Jalen Pickett. Actually, you know, before we get to Pickett, let's get to Hunter Thompson, because I think Hunter Thompson was actually the biggest story of the weekend from a Denver Nuggets perspective. This is a guy who played a ton of college basketball. We talked about it after the draft. You guys remember the conversations. Maybe you even watched, you know, Hunter. Oh, did I say Thompson? I meant Tyson. I don't know if I said it or not. I don't have a co-host to put me in check. I'm just talking to myself here after I've already talked for 3 hours, so forgive me. And guys, that's a full-time awareness level with here on a podcast, because you can screw up, especially when you're going solo and you don't have a producer or a co-host to say, hey, you just said Thompson and not Tyson. So if I ever screw up, and I do a lot, just know that I think you mostly understand what I was trying to say. So let me power through it. Hunter Tyson was the least talked about of the three draft picks after Julian Strother and Jalen Pickett. Hunter Tyson coming out of Clemson was the least talked about, I think, just in general, but also here on this podcast. But this guy has played a ton of college basketball, okay? A ton. 140 games at Clemson. All right, this guy played out of the gate, played over 30 games as a true freshman, ended up taking advantage of that COVID year. His third year at Clemson was disjointed, I believe, because of injury. But if you look at years 4 and 5 in college, he went from scoring like 2 points a game to 5 points, to like 7.5 points with that injured season, to scoring 10 points a game as a senior. He picks up the COVID year option that those kids got, and he scores 15 points a game in the ACC. But this guy has played a bleep ton of basketball. He's 6'8". He can shoot it. If you look at the three-point field goal percentage by the time it was his last year at Clemson, he was a 40% free throw shooter. I really liked what I saw from this guy. Right out of the gate, comes off the bench against Milwaukee, plays 27 minutes. I mean, he was earning more and more minutes throughout that game because of how well he was playing. But he shot over 50% from the field, made 3 threes, got to the free throw line, went 4 of 5, pulled down 5 rebounds, which was the second most on the team, and ended up scoring 21 points. And I just like the kid's presence out on the floor. I really do. He had a certain something to him. In terms of like a swagger and a confidence and just, like I said, that general presence, knocking down catch and shoot opportunities. He had one possession where he created his own shot on the right wing. It was had a little step back going back to his right, created some space. You know who he kind of reminded me a little bit? And I don't, it's not a perfect analogy by any means, okay, but analogies aren't supposed to be perfect math equations. He kind of reminded me of Luke Kennard, who, you know, played at Duke, obviously, played for the Clippers, now is in Memphis, and he's bigger than Kennard is. Kennard's like 6'5", 6'6". Hunter Tyson is like 6'8". But it's one of these things almost that I'm like, well, maybe the sample size on him was too big in college, and maybe scouts, you know, thought that they knew what he was after, you know, watching him at Clemson for a half decade. Because typically, if a guy is 40% three-point shooter, and he is a 15-point-per-game type of guy in the ACC, and he's 6'8", you know, you're not dropping to where he did in the second round of the draft. We might be looking back at this one, though, as like, wow, what a steal. What a steal. You know, shame on me, as I'm personally raising my hand, like, for not, you know, maybe doing even more homework on him than I did. But man, really, really impressed. And then he follows up game number one where he scored 21 and he has 16 points off the bench in game number two against Atlanta on Sunday night in 24 minutes. So, and again, efficient night, you know, 50% shooting, 2 of 4 from three, made it to the free throw line again, once again went 4 of 5. So good, you know, obviously not perfect, but again, under the umbrella and through the lens of what Summer League is, really impressed out of the gate by Hunter Tyson. And now I'm just like hitting the reset button on him. Now I'm just like super hyper intrigued and can't wait till the next time I get to see him play. And just another reminder, there's going to be really low moments. And this is no guarantee that Hunter Thompson is even in the Nuggets plan at all for this season, at all. We'll just see how it ages, but good early returns from Hunter Tyson. Also, good early returns from Jalen Pickett. Again, not perfect, but this is someone I was super bullish on heading into the draft. called that the Denver Nuggets were going to draft him. I explained it on previous podcasts. He comes from my neck of the woods in upstate New York, played at Siena in upstate New York. And I should say, no, he didn't come from upstate New York. He played there, played his college basketball there at Siena for 3 years, transfers to Penn State. He was fantastic, one of the best players in the Big Ten, efficient, plays at that slower pace. You know, folks laugh about the booty ball thing because he does play with his back to the basket. But he's like Mark Jackson in a sense where he might put his back into you or butt into you like at midcourt, like Magic Johnson, Mark Jackson style, like backing the ball like across half court. It's unorthodox, okay? It looks a little bit different. But, man, I really like what I see from Jalen Pickett. I really do. Out of the gate, 5 of 9 from the field, had 6 rebounds from the guard spot, 5 assists. Did have 3 turnovers, but then in the game against Atlanta, once again, 5 assists to just 1 turnover. So in 2 summer league games, 10 assists to 4 turnovers. You know, once if you're out of the gate, again, albeit at the summer league level, if you're better than 2-1 assist to turnover ratio, that's a great place to start. It really is for Jalen Pickett. Again, not perfect. Some low moments of that first half of game number one where I was like, eh. But really, on the whole, I walk away after 2 games just as encouraged as I was before the 2 games on who Jalen Pickett can be. You see him playing the game from the neck up, like really as an operator, a true point guard. And I just love to see it. And really, it would not shock me at all if Jalen Pickett, for all the reasons that we're talking about here, and him just passing the eye test of him being out there, and that you can't quite quantify on a stat sheet. For all these reasons, I would not be shocked if by the time December rolls around, Jalen Pickett is getting backup point guard minutes in over Reggie Jackson even. I don't think that's crazy at all. Would it surprise me if Jalen Pickett is not playing at all on a night-to-night basis? No, because he's a rookie. So we'll just see how it ages. But again, early returns on Jalen Pickett. I really like it. I really like Jalen Pickett. Okay, Colin Gillespie, great bounce back game. I'm very bullish on Colin Gillespie, probably more than some. There's a little bit of bias is the word I'm looking for. Because I watched Colin Gillespie's whole career. I've shared that with you on the podcast before if you missed it. I had a kid that I mentored for years in my hometown that was the ball boy for me when I was on varsity basketball back in 2004, 2005. This young kid was like 7 years old. His name was Joe Cremo. And he turned himself into the New York State Player of the Year, goes to University at Albany, becomes the Rookie of the Year. By the next year, he was like second team all league. By the next year, he was first team all league. And the year after that, he was playing for Jay Wright as a grad transfer, the very first ever grad transfer in Villanova basketball history under Jay Wright. And as he was coming in, this Joe Cremo from my hometown, Colin Gillespie was just coming into the program. So I watched every single game for Villanova to keep tabs on my guy, Cremo, but also watching Gillespie. And then I just became attached to the program, watched him develop over the years from, you know, a guy who was chipping away at contributing as a young player, and then to ultimately a 2-time Big East Player of the Year in 2021 and 2022, Bob Cousy Award winner. Big East Tournament MVP, the kid did it all. But it was a slow climb for Gillespie. I think that's the way his NBA career is going to go, if he has one at all. There's certainly no guarantee of that. That arc got disrupted last summer when he was averaging like over 11 points a game in summer league, broke his leg. So not an ideal start to his career, but the Nuggets hung on to him, showed some patience. They could have just, I'm sure, cut him and moved on. But it was nice to see him struggle. It wasn't nice to see him struggle, but it was nice to see him bounce back, because he really did struggle in that first game. Turnovers, looked like he was really rusty and hadn't played a real basketball game in a year. He was 1-for-7 from the floor, 0-of-3 from 3. But I love betting on the correction, and Gillespie made shots in game number 2, made 5 threes, went 5-of-8 from downtown, dished out some assists. Again, turned it over a little bit too much, but he's playing basketball at that level for the first time in a calendar year. To think that there wasn't going to be rust and growing pains all over again was going to be naive. So, again, it's all about what lens you're looking at these guys through. when it comes to Kamigate, not encouraged at all. Let's get to the downside stuff. I'm not encouraged at all. I'm just not. This is a guy who they took a flyer on a year ago. This is a guy who has size for sure, but doesn't look like he. How do I say this about Ishmael Kamigate? He looks like a guy who has collected rebounds because he's been really, really tall. He doesn't look like he is passionate about. He doesn't look passionate out there. He doesn't look like he is playing for his NBA life. I don't know, you know, how else I can put it other than that. You know, but he's 6'11". You should be a better rebounder than that, and you should want to rebound, not waiting for rebounds to come to you. And that was the one thing, you know, especially as a former undersized rebounder myself, and I know this isn't about me, but like my frame of reference when it comes to the glass is, boy, you better have your ass in position. You better be ready to compete on every single possession from a leverage standpoint, and then that ultimately will lead you to rebound by just playing the position game, the leverage game, the max effort game. And when you don't do any of that at 6'11", I don't know. It probably goes to show you why he was the 46 overall pick and not the 26 overall pick. And I just would be surprised if he was playing basketball for the Nuggets this year. I would just be surprised. We'll see how it ages. I'm willing to be shocked, but that's probably the word I would use if he was out there logging real minutes during the regular season for the Denver Nuggets this year. I think that's all the big stuff I wanted to get to. I do want to comment for a second here on Victor Wembanyama, who comes into, you know, his NBA existence with, you know, being like the most hyped prospect in 20 years for sure. Everyone is just so quick to dump all over people when they fail to meet the expectation immediately. Like, guys, this was a teenager who was just tasting the NBA game for the first time. I understand that he played soft. I mean, I don't even know how else to play it. It was an underwhelming performance from a like gusto standpoint. He got dunked on. I got it. But he also had 5 blocks in 27 minutes. Guys, if you block 3 shots a night, you lead the NBA. I think he's going to have an opportunity to do that right out of the gate. There's going to be a growth arc. Okay, clearly. That growth arc is not from here to December. That growth arc is from here to 2027. Like, what does it look like, you know, 3 years from now when he's 22 years old? What does it look like when he's 25 years old? So, like, putting a magnifying glass, and I get it, go back to sample size. It's the only thing we had to analyze. So we overanalyze it. We overreact to it. But then 48 hours later, he goes and has 27 points and 12 rebounds. And, you know, it's like, okay, we're back to the perspective start of things. I think he's going to be okay. I hope he's okay. I want Victor Wembanyama to be great. Like, I think that'd be great for the NBA. Now, from a Nugget standpoint, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe not so that, you know, another Western Conference team, but his timeline is not the same as the Nuggets. The Nuggets are the reigning NBA champions of the world, and their own arc had been preparing them for years. And this kid's just playing his first ever summer league game. So I'm not worried about like what the Spurs are going to do or not do like in years to come. Just not worried about it. But I want him to be good. He had 3 blocks again in game number 2. So 8 blocks in the first 2 games. Not bad. But just be careful with the rush to judgment. He's going to have bad nights. He's going to have nights. Guys, on the Stokely and Zach show, hours before his first game, I literally said, and we played the audio back today on Monday, I said, I won't be surprised if he goes out there and has 9 points and 8 rebounds in his debut. What do you have in his debut? 9 points and 8 rebounds. Now, I won't nail that again for like ever again. That's just impossible to do. But that's where I was heading into to game number 1. LeBron scored 14 points in his first ever summer league game. That's just, you know, a few buckets more. In the social media age to carry around a gavel in your back pocket and just ready to bring the hammer down on someone and judge them based off 27 minutes of summer league game number 1 was hysterical for me. But maybe it's an indicator. Who knows? Who knows? I don't think it is, though. I think he's going to be fine. Defensively, anyway. I like last thought on Victor. I think his defense and his length is going to translate game like week 1, game 1, first half. offensively, don't be surprised if it's disjointed. 9 points this night, 27 points the next night, followed by 17, followed by 24, followed by 8. Like, it's going to be like that for a while before he stabilizes. If he ever does, we'll see. I think he will. All right, we're going to leave it there for now. I hope you guys are having a great summer, right? That goes without saying. I hope you're still, and I said this the past few episodes, I hope you're still basking in the afterglow of the world champion Denver Nuggets and what was this spring. So fun, so fascinating. Would love to do it again. I think City of Denver is going to have a shot. The next time the Nuggets will play is on Wednesday evening. That game will be on NBA TV, if you get that. It'll be against the Utah Jazz on July 12th. Game starting 7:30 locally. And we will, I actually don't know if we'll come in and react to that on Friday. I'm actually going to say we won't, because they're going to play on Wednesday night. Oh, so maybe we will react to that. Okay, well, I'll just say this. We'll play it by ear. We might be back on Thursday, but if we're not back on Thursday, we'll definitely be back early next week reacting to Wednesday night's game, but also Friday evening's game, because we're going to have a rematch of the finals. Heat Nuggets on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Looking forward to that. So we'll likely catch up with you early next week, but we may be back earlier than expected. Maybe it's later this week, reacting on Thursday to Wednesday night's game. So just play it by ear. If you want to turn notifications on, that'd be great. Please subscribe. Rate 5 stars if you think we deserve it. And let me just put this in your ear. Very soon, especially in time for next season, we'll be going live on YouTube on a very, very regular basis. I'm getting my ducks in a row now, building a little pseudo studio, and really looking forward to doing more like on-demand stuff. So like maybe like directly after a Nuggets game or the morning after, and then come and doing the podcast, but like sort of just diversifying between the podcast and maybe the YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube. If you just type in my name, Zach By, it should come right up there. There's some content already up there from recent, from years past, whatever. So click around, check that out. And looking forward to in the next few months, sort of really launching that in earnest. And I'd really like you to be a part of that. Just like I love that you're a part of the Mile High Hoops podcast. So thank you for being here. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And whatever happens, regardless, on Wednesday night and then again on Friday night, you already know we're going to be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Mile High Hoops podcast powered by Superbook Sports. Until next time.